إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will not come for the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will not come for the Muslimin. We have seen that over the past year, and especially within the past week, we know that a village in Lebanon was blown up in its entirety. There were over 40,000 people, and this is a low number of people that were killed over the past year. Likely it is much higher than this. And when we do an estimation and a calculation, it's over 50 kids that have been killed every single day. And many of us would have seen the images of that young brother, the one that was a hafidh by the name of Sha'ban Ahmed. He was a young brother of ours, 19 years old, trying to become a software engineer. And yet we see the images of him while he has an ivy attached to him burning up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will not come for the Muslimin. Now what is the proof of this? The proof of this is the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say in the Quran? He says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ It is incumbent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he helps the mu'min, not the Muslim. And there's a distinction between these two categories of people, and that will be part of the discussion of today's khutbah. And the second aspect is having optimism and addressing those individuals that believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help surely will not come, because it is incumbent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the mu'min. Now when it comes to the distinction between a mu'min and a Muslim, this is mentioned directly in the Quran in the end of Surah Al-Hujurat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions a situation and a scenario in which a man came to an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a Bedouin man from the desert outskirt regions of Arabia. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that I profess Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him that when this man came, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ That when this man came and he professed that I have Iman, tell him that no, you don't yet have Iman, but rather you have submitted. You have the external factors. You might be one that is performing the five daily prayers, giving the zakah, giving the charity, fasting the month of Ramadan and going for Hajj, but these are external. You don't yet have what is necessitated by this statement of being one who has Iman. And in fact, when we go further into these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter, he discusses the quality of one that truly professes Iman, the first and primary characteristic that he has. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in many ahadith about the qualities of a believer as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by mentioning to us that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا The first quality that a person has is the one that believes, that one that truly professes Iman, and not just Islam, is one that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا Then they have absolutely no doubt at all in this belief. Because there are some people that would say, they would take what's called the Pascal's wager, named after a French mathematician by the name of Pascal. And he's talking from a Christian paradigm, but the idea and concept still implies or still has a relevance to Muslimin. A person might say, for example, he's talking about a person that takes what's called the Pascal's wager. They might say that there may be a Jannah, there may be a Jahannam. There might be hell, there might be heaven, and this life is limited. So in order to maximize my benefit, I would rather opt for believing in the event that there might be a next life, there might be a heaven, or there might be a hell. Let me try my best, just in case there is one, to try to be as best as I can. But this is not true yaqeen. And that is not what is mentioned and meant by this ayah, that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. And in fact, many ahadith, and Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم would profess his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when he would perform the tahajjud prayer, one of those supplications that he would make is he would say, Allahumma anta al-haq, wa wa'aduka al-haq, wa liqa'uka haq, wal jannatu haq, wal naru haq, wal sa'atu haq. All of these things are true. Death, jahannam, jannah, the afterlife, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is true. So this is the first part of having that level of iman, and not simply iman. Not simply Islam. Another part of this is what happens, we can discuss, is when a person truly has this quality of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about a good word. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرُعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ تُؤْتِي أُكُلُهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this set of verses is giving a parable of a good word. And the Mufassirun say that this good word is the statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. When you have this within you, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ, you're someone who is firm, someone whose roots are deep and fixed, and Allah is comparing this to that of a good tree, that this good word is like that of a good tree. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرُعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and its branches are in the sky. تُؤْتِي أُكُلُهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا, and it's producing fruits. That if you truly have this iman, the fruits of this iman will be seen on your limbs and on your tongue and in every aspect of how you are trying to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your good deeds, you will see this. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ahadith, he mentions the quality of a believer and what, if a person truly believes they possess these qualities. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in a narration that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. The one that truly believes, has iman, not just Islam, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah and the Day of Judgment, he will say that which is good or remain silent. How many of us are Muslim, but we say whatever we want? We don't control our tongue. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرُ فَلَا يُؤْثِي جَارَهُ فَلَا يُؤْثِي جَارَهُ. The one that believes, has iman in Allah and the last day, will not harm his neighbor. How many Muslims harm their neighbors? They don't have good relationships with their neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you will love, none of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. You might have had a cousin or a brother or a friend, he goes on vacation, or his children are doing good, or he got a good house or a nice fast car, or has all of these things, or he got a position in society. Are you happy for him and his children just as you would be happy for yourself and your children, or not? And that is what is meant by this hadith of having this quality of ithar. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Being one that wants more for other people, even though you yourself are in need of that same very thing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ. That none of you will truly have iman until your desire is subjugated to that which I brought. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't get angry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wake up for Salatul Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, lower your gaze. All of these things, you need to fight your desire. You will not truly have iman until all of these things are above, all of the aspects which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do, they come first. When you have your desire on one hand and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other hand, the mu'min, the one that truly has iman, is the one that goes with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, even if it goes against your nafs. There are so many other narrations we can talk about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yajlis ala ma'idatin yudaru 'alayha al-khamr." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the one that believes in Allah on the last day should not sit at a table in which alcohol is being passed around. Because of perhaps networking, or perhaps because of going to the company after party, or going perhaps to the work after party, or going in a situation where you might be sports after party, or some of these networking events for wine and cheese so you can sit around and have a good time, or your non-Muslim colleagues invited you to their house and alcohol is being placed on the table. The one that truly has iman, not just Islam, I'm just basically a Muslim, but rather I'm a mu'min, he will not sit on that table. Although it might cost him perhaps some opportunities of networking and things of the like, he cannot get himself to sit on that table because he is one who professes that level of iman. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ عَلَى مَائِتَةٍ يُدَارُ عَلَيْهَا الْخَمْرُ. There are so many other ahadith when you look at the Quran and the Sunnah. A person might look at those videos which they see of what is happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, and they might be one that is burnt out by this. They might be one that is tired and exhausted. But remember the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he says, مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم مثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عدوا تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. The parable of not a Muslim, but rather a believer, a mu'min, when he sees this, is like that of a body. When one part of it is hurt, the rest of the body is in a state of sleeplessness and fever. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this level of iman, this high level of iman, which will be the means of victory for the Muslim ummah. And another point that we can discuss with respect to this as well, and this is a common question that a person would have, is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things, He is all powerful, He is all merciful as well, then why does He not intervene and why does He continue to allow these calamities to exist? A person, they might have this question. In fact, if you were to ask your non-Muslim colleagues why they don't believe in Islam or a God, this will likely be the number one answer they give, the issue of theodicy, the problem of evil. Now to answer this, we can answer it in a number of ways. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want for us as believers through these calamities and trials? Whether it is for the ummah at a large or on an individual level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something for us. And what is this thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us as believers? We see that a certain thing happens to the mu'min, to the Muslim, to the ummah of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they are faced through trials, and specifically trials in which people try to attack them. Another nation, when they look at, for example, the F-16s and the F-35s and the Merkava tanks and the Abrams tanks and all of these people attacking them with all of their bombs and weaponry, they would be afraid of all of this. However, when it comes to the ummah of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ummah is something different. And we see this from the Qur'an. In that incident after the battle of Uhud, wherein Na'im ibn Mas'ud, he came to an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ وَقَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. This first Nas is referring to Na'im ibn Mas'ud. He goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وقال الناس, Na'im ibn Mas'ud, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. The people are gathering against us. Abu Sufyan and his army are they might use this as an opportunity. This was the fear then, that now that we have faced this defeat at Uhud, they're going to go into Madinatul Munawwar and finish off the remaining Muslims while they're weak. إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. So fear them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. But for a Muslim, for a mu'min, your iman actually increases. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And we see that statement of the people of Gaza, that Allah is sufficient for us. When people are attacked, when the Muslim ummah is attacked, the iman of the ummah increases. And really take an assessment of yourself from now as compared to 1 year ago. You would find that the iman of the majority of the ummah is different. That people are more spiritual. They're coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People that are not even Muslim are becoming Muslim. People that are not even Muslim are coming closer to perhaps becoming Muslim in the future. And this is one of the goals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with trials and calamities happening to the ummah on a global level. However, on the individual level, there's another point here as well. Is that whenever you are faced with trials and calamities in your life, oftentimes this becomes a means for you to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at, for example, the masajid at Salatul Fajr. A lot of the people that come for Salatul Fajr are those people that might have had some relationship issues, or they might have had some financial issues, or they might have had some health issues. They come to the masjid sincerely calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and raising their hands in dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from our fitrah. That we know that there's a creator, and we call out to him in our times of need. As he mentions in the Quran, that فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. If you're on a boat and you're facing the waves of the ocean and you think it's going to capsize this boat, or you're on a plane and you feel the turbulence and you think that this plane might crash, there's no atheist there. There's no atheist on the sinking ship. You're going to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity in that moment of need. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand through these calamities, whether we have it for ourselves or whether for the ummah at a large. And we see that through these moments, sometimes the worst of people can become the best of people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when talking about Amr ibn Hisham, also known as Abu Jahl, he says, هَذَا فِرْعَوْنُ أُمَّتِي. This is the Fir'aun of my ummah. But the son of Abu Jahl, his name is Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. He has a different story. Ikrimah, when Abu Jahl was killed in the Battle of Badr by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, dealt the final blow. Ikrimah was one who fought against the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this moment. But when his father was killed, his animosity towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it increased even further. It increased even further to the point that he fought against the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One flank in the Battle of Uhud was by Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, trying to fright the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into Makkah al-Mukarramah in the incident of Fath Makkah, he granted a general amnesty to the entire people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Despite the years of torture and torment, he granted a general amnesty. And when the Quraysh, he asked them, Ya ma'ashar al-Quraysh, ماذا تظنون أني فاعل بكم اليوم? O people of Quraysh, what do you think I'm going to do to you today? They say, خَيْرٌ أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ خَيْرٌ إِبْنُ أَخٍ كَرِيمٌ. You're going to do good to us, our generous brother, the son of our generous brother. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَنَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ مَا قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَخِيَ. I'm going to tell you what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There's no blame upon you today. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he embodied what this deen is. And we see that it was not about revenge. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had every opportunity to take revenge, but he did not do so. That is not our principles as believers. However, we do enact justice. And there were six people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you see these people even hanging to the cloth of the Kaaba, then they are to be killed. One of them was Abdullah ibn Khattal, one of those people that killed the Muslimin. He pretended to become a Muslim, and then he ran away again because of his oppression. As Muslims, we need to establish justice. It's not about revenge, but it is about justice. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a list of six people. But even this list of six, out of all the people of Mecca, was reduced to six people only, that these people were not granted an amnesty. Even this list of six, as mentioned in one narration, these six are mentioned in one narration. This was reduced even further. And one of those that was initially on the list was Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. What happened was that his wife, by the name of Ummu Hakim, she pleaded with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after seeing his generosity and kindness and forgiveness. And she asked for her husband, Ikrimah, to be forgiven. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Huwa amin. He will be safe. So Ikrimah, he had actually run away at this point. He was going away to a place that he spent his childhood in, a place called Tihana. A place called Tihama, which is on the coastal region of Yemen, on the north part of Yemen. So he took a ship there, and he's trying to get away from the Muslims, and he sees that even on this ship there are Muslims there. And he faces the waves of the ocean. And at this point, the people on the ship, they tell him that nobody's going to save you here except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ikrimah, he makes a sincere dua. And he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you save me in this moment, then I'll place my hand in the hand of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because I know him to be merciful, forgiving, and a kind and generous man. And thus Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl became radiallahu an, one who was pleased with Allah and Allah was pleased with him. And later on, he would take the Mus'haf, the Quran, and he would put it on his cheek and say, Kalamu Rabbi, Kitabu Rabbi, while having tears rolling down his cheeks. This was Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. He was one that faced hardship And this hardship led him back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the key point. And the most important part of our life here in this dunya is for us to be connected with our Creator. Going back to what we started today's khutbah with, the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will not come for the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help surely will not come for the Muslimin. It will come for the mu'mineen. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. However, there are some people that have pessimism. They are not people of optimism. They look at what is happening around and they say that there's no point of even trying. Their militaries are too great. Nothing's going to change. What's the point of even trying and bothering to do anything or speaking out? Let's just give up. And for those people, we need to understand that this is also problematic. As an ummah, we are an ummah of optimism. And we see this throughout the Quran, the stories of the prophets, and the life of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the battle of Uhud, when Hamza radiallahu an Asadullah, not just anyone, Asadullah, the uncle of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not just anyone is martyred. And when Hanzala ibn Abi Amir, Ghasil al-Malaika, is martyred, and Mus'ab ibn Umair is martyred, and 70 from among the Ansar are martyred, and the Muslims are feeling weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayah, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. We find that Dawood alayhi salam, when he is confronted with the army of Jalut, and people they say from his army who are part of the army, they say, قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمُ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. We have no ability over Jalut and his army on this day. What do the people of Iman say? قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ. Those that know with certainty they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many times has a small group overcome a larger group? We find that when the Prophet ﷺ is in the cave of Athawr, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he says that if the Quraysh look down, they're going to see our feet. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? مَا ظَنَّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ بِإِثْنَانِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think, Abu Bakr, about two people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third? We see that when Musa alayhi is with Bani Israel and the army of Fir'aun is behind him and the Red Sea is in front of him, and the people of Bani Israel, they say, Inna lamudrakun, is over. They caught us. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond? The statement of Musa, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. That with us is a Lord, He will make a way out. And Musa alayhi salam is commanded to split the Red Sea. This ummah is an ummah of optimism, and we need to understand and keep and hold fast to this principle of looking optimistically towards what we are seeing happening. In fact, when it comes to your dua as well, some people they make dua and they are pessimistic. They don't feel this dua, anything is happening with it. When it comes to us as believers, we don't look towards bad omens and we don't believe in bad omens. Friday the 13th, a cat walking under a ladder. This is against the teachings of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to believe in bad omens. However, for good omens, an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in a narration, he says, يُعَجِبُنِي الْفَأْلُ الصَّالِحِ. I like a good omen. I'm impressed with a good omen. That you make dua, you see a rainbow. You make dua, you see rain coming down. You see moments of hope. We should look towards these within our lives, our personal lives, as well as for the ummah as a whole. And the proof of this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was an optimistic person. That in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, this difficult negotiation, Ikrimah, he mentions and he narrates that Ja'a Suhail ibn Amir. Suhail ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he came when he approached this meeting that was taking place, the contract of Hudaybiyah. And what does the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, لَقَدْ سَهُلَ لَكُمْ أُمُورَكُمْ. Your matter will now become easy. Suhail comes from the root word sahula, which means to make easy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his coming as a good sign, as a moment of optimism and hope. And that is what we need to have as believers. To conclude the khutbah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who raise and elevate ourselves from the level of Islam to the level of Iman, because this is upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that understands His wisdoms, and through these trials and tribulations in our own life and for the ummah, He brings us back to Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us an ummah who is never pessimistic, but rather always optimistic and look towards a brighter future. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this ummah victory and success. And we grant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy upon the Muslims that are facing hardship in the world today. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده وأبلغ حمدا وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضل وشرف لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكة يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم انصر إخواننا في لبنان. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز. اللهم إنا نسألك فتحا مبينا. اللهم إنا نسألك نصرا قريبا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله مذكركم واشكروه على نعيم زدكم. لذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.